Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Coast to Coast Combat Hour. I'm your host, Matthew Hawkins, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ed Carbajal. Ed, we made it to UFC 300. How are you doing, brother?
Pretty good. Sorry we're doing this a day later, but my schedule got a little messed up. I'm doing some stuff for Spectation Sports and a lot of action going on over there, but they keep me interested in MMA. As saturated as we complain about stuff and how mid-tier cards or whatever the case may be, that's not the case this weekend with UFC 300. It's a good card. And I think the funny thing about it is the most mid fight about it is the main event to me. Like every fight before that is like must see MMA, and I'm really excited. I mean, you've been to were you at 100?
No, I didn't do 100 for the same reason I didn't do 300. It's extremely expensive, and it was kind of like at the same time they kind of got the price hikes going. UFC 100 was the Brock era and the price hikes, and I don't know what you want to call this, the I don't know, the whole world's expensive right now, so
Yeah, that's true.
it's not just the UFC, so I'm not
Yeah.
gonna dumb on them for raising their prices, but prices are expensive, and
Yeah,
this event
everything is,
was
yeah.
the coup de grace of the expensiveness, or however you
And
want to say it.
but it's just crazy, like at 300 events. I know we were at 200 because that's where we met. That fight week was so much fun. Even though it led to the current state of MMA now, because that's the weekend of the sale and everything. But it is a marquee event, and the fights that are there. I heard just before we get into the fights that are with the breakdown of the fights and our picks and stuff. One of the things that I heard, which I haven't seen any images of since I heard it, as again, like I said, I've been busy. They're supposed to have some new gloves. Either I don't know if it's just for this event, or if they're going to be new gloves moving forward. I'm assuming at the official pre-fight press conference, hopefully somebody asks that question, but or we get more information about it. But I'm hoping they finally update the gloves.
Well, I don't think there'll be updated gloves for tomorrow, or for this weekend, I should say. I just because I think they're going to have to give the fighters time to adjust to training in them and all that other stuff. So I would say expect if that's what it is, I would think that they would say, hey, like the first event's going to be fight week. We're going to have new gloves or something. Give everybody a couple months to kind of adjust to it. I'm not a fighter, so I can't say, but I imagine having your fingers kind of restricted. In a little bit of a sense, obviously you'd probably want to, attempt to adjust to it a little bit more. I have a feeling it's just going to be logos or ads
That's
or
what I think it is too,
color. I mean, it's one of the few things that they
yeah.
haven't monetized yet is kind of the gloves. They don't, you can get your hands on them at an event and they're overpriced. There's usually a couple of them, but I have always been kind of surprised that they don't sell like autographed gloves and, especially when, like I said, the money grab's there for everything. Why are we not, I mean, they could literally be selling, auctioning them off or selling them or doing whatever the hell they want to do with them. So I expect something like that. Hopefully it's something to do with the finger pokes, as as we kind of saw that come to a head with the Chris
Yeah,
Weidman fight, last week.
oh yeah, for sure, for sure. Maybe that's kind of like where it's coming from too, because something that keeps coming up, and the gloves are definitely out there. A lot of people have brought up that the gloves are definitely out there. I know Trevor Whitman has some gloves that he designed, and he's pretty in with the UFC. Justin Gaethje's on the card, that's his coach. And then obviously Everlast has had a design out there that's that Cutman Matt Marsden has even featured and spoke with us about when he's been on the podcast, shared pictures and everything, that those Bellator Everlast gloves were already, had the forced curve so that you don't have that happen so much. And obviously with the gloves that we've seen, Shooto style gloves, like there's definitely gloves out there that they could migrate over to if they weren't so hardcore hell bent on branding everything down to the blood and bone of the fighters. So it'd be interesting. It'd be interesting to see. But I mean, I just thought I wrote that down in my notes because I saw, I think Amy Kaplan, because she's there fight weeks from Fanside, it kind of said she saw something where that was mentioned. So I figured I'd mention it here and see if you knew anything about it.
No, but I just what I've seen online, nothing behind the scenes. I don't expect, I don't think anything's going to be used for this event. That's the main thing. If it is a new glove, I can't imagine they would just drop it on the fighters 2 days prior
What
to
do you think
having
they'll
that.
color? You think we get a different color
Matt.
Yeah, we had yellow for 200.
I
feel like green is going to be the color. Green? You know, like a Money in the Bank type of.
Oh yeah, I mean you. I feel like they're going to do something, but I don't. I don't know. I don't. It doesn't matter to me. If it were my choice, I'd go back to like an old, you know, I'd do like the Ultiman from like UFC 1 and have it holding up 300. I'd have something like that. I'd have
that would be cool.
You know, I mean, I'd bring it from 1 to 300 like that. That's how I'd do it. I wouldn't, you know, but the way their poster came out, I mean, it doesn't look like they really give a shit about anything. You know, I mean, you know, it turns out the poster's literally a stock image that they just changed the color on. Yeah. I don't know if you saw that on Twitter today, but yeah, it turns out it's just a stock image that they changed the colors on, and you can actually, I mean, you can Google the image online of the flag, and all they did was take a section of it. So I don't know, but they don't sell posters anymore. I didn't mention that, I don't think, previously. When I went to 298
California, one,
and then the one I think before that I went to, I can't recall the number off the top of my head. I can't remember, but there was no. They didn't sell posters. Yeah. The only ones they sold were autographed. So I figure that they've just chucked away the idea of like having real event posters. You'll have your digital ones online for like, you know,
the NFT. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and for websites to use and stuff like that. But I think for the most part, I mean, if this isn't a slap in the face and kind of tell you like where it's come and like how it's not about the fighters, it's just about the three letters. I mean, they literally just made a poster with only the three letters on it.
Oh yeah.
You know. So, I mean, you want to bang that. It's feel like you're banging a dead horse, but like, it just doesn't, it seems, I mean, your eyes don't lie, you know? I mean, it's just kind of how it is. I mean, you just said it like, I mean, the main event's an action fight, but it doesn't have the storylines that we've kind of grown accustomed to for these special quote unquote kind of events. Mm-hmm. I guess the best news to come out is that John Jones actually wasn't on this card, since he would have ruined it again. So, I mean, he just loves the even when he's not on the spotlight for an event, that's big time. He likes to make sure that he gets in the news a few days prior.
It looks like they probably told him to stay home. I know Dana White doesn't like it when he comes to Vegas, so.
We'll see. But anyways, let's get to the good stuff here. Let's get to the things that actually matter and that are, in this week's case, extremely exciting. We got the whole fight card for UFC 300. As far as picks go, I don't know where you want to start. I think the only way to really do this is kind of go down the whole dang card because, I mean, it's the rare occasion we get like this. I mean, this is the first time we've done a podcast where, you know, there's been an event where you were like, UFC 205 was prior to our show. That was right around that era. But this is the first time that we really could look at a card and go, okay,
pretty much all the fights are must see. Yeah.
And it's good for some of the new fans. And even us old heads got guys in it. You know, this is kind of it, you know, like this is as good as it's going to get. It would be nice to have a big main event that meant the world to the fighting world, and we had, you know, shows in Toronto and, you know, the world tour and all that stuff, but in this day and age, this is as good as it gets. So
there's something that I just saw. It's weird because I saw early odds for, anyway, I don't know where you want to start. Where do you want to start?
Let's just start at the bottom. Let's just start at the bottom and work our way up.
And I don't have picks for all of them, just pretty much.
No, but I mean, like,
most
I said,
of the fights that I have notes, but I didn't make picks on all the fights because there's just some fights that
I get it. Yeah. But you know, the fight starts up with former champion against former champion Davison Figueiredo versus Cody Garbrandt. I mean, Garbrandt's on a couple fight win streak. Figueiredo picked up a win in his last fight over Rob Font, dominating fashion. You know, someone's going down, I feel like. I've seen the best and I've seen the worst of Cody Garbrandt, and I've really only seen a lot of good out of Davison Figueiredo. I know he had some losses to Moreno, but I don't feel like he was really embarrassed. The second fight with Moreno, where Moreno first won the title, was it the first fight? Second, well, I don't know what the draws in there. It kind of throws it off. But second fight, I believe, he got worked over, but and then finished in the second round of that fight. But I. I go with Figueiredo in this fight. I do like where Garbrandt's at right now. It seems like where he's at mentally. He seems like he's grown up as an adult, you know, from the drinking and kind of the meme days of the Ultimate Fighter. And you know, if he's matured in the ring, and I mean, his losses always came when he left himself open generally, like when he was kind of going for it. And he was countered. So we saw what he did to his son, Sal. He's picked up, you know, a nice win against Keller last time out, another knockout. So I do think he has a shot. Figueiredo's coming up to his weight class. So there's that, you know, could be a deciding factor, but I'm going to go with Figueiredo, but a great opening fight, great opening fight for the card.
Yeah, absolutely. A great opening fight for the card. And I have to say that I also think that the 135 favors Figueiredo, just because we know about his misses in the past at his time at flyweight. And I mean, I definitely see a finish coming. However, I mean, for Figueiredo, I think he can get that magic. You know, his special sub, the guillotine. But I definitely think, because of everything you said about Garbrandt, the puncher's chance is more than strong with him, just because of he seems to have, like you said, come to his own with his counter striking. So yeah, I'm definitely picking Figueiredo as well. They have him. They don't have odds for everyone, which is the thing that I noticed when we first brought it up. That there's one obviously I'm going to mention when we get to it, but Figueiredo's -310 as a favorite. So
I got to be honest with you. If I was in Vegas, I'd be putting money on Garbrandt at those odds, +250 for Garbrandt in a fight. Yeah,
There's a lot of interesting parlays on this card, which I don't like to play parlays, but this is probably one of the most tempting fight cards where you kind of want to. Lightweight bout, Bobby Green versus Jim Miller. I mean, this is obviously a bucket list thing for Miller. Been in the game a long time. He's been at all the 100-00 events, including this one, when it comes. I'm obviously going to go for the Jersey boy, so I'll get my pick out of the way right out the bat, so that way you can do your breakdown on this one. But he's +150 underdog. I can't say that I disagree with the odds, but, you know, it's Jim Miller.
Miller's on a nice little win streak. Mm-hmm. Bobby Green's coming off a brutal loss to Jalen Turner, who's up this card a little bit. You know, before the Turner fight, I would have picked Bobby Green, but with this case, I'm going to go with Jim Miller. I think Bobby Green, I got to see how he rebounds from that. Guy's been through a lot of battles. Both of these guys are approaching 50 career fights. You know, so I don't know. You take a brutal knockout like he took, plus some shots after he was well done. I wonder how he bounces back from that. So I'll go with Jim Miller. I probably have never picked Jim Miller to fight in my whole life, but I'll do it at UFC 300. I've been wrong more than I've been right, but
no, I generally pick him. I remember the only time I felt bad picking. I mean, I picked him and he lost badly. It was when he first fought Cowboy Cerrone out here in Atlantic City, where oddly enough, this our background. That's where that I took the photo. That is our background at the Revel. Now the Ocean Resort Casino. Kevin, I mean, Nicholson,
just look at their pictures on this thing. Like, if you told somebody I'm taking Jim Miller in a fight and they didn't know who these guys were, they'd think you were high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, you know. True. I agree.
I mean, you could have a more flattering picture of Jim Miller, I would think. But
well, we'll get to pictures in a moment as we move up the card. Really quick, Kevin Nicholson chiming in. On the last fight, Garbrandt struggles with chronic neck and low back spine issues. He said nearly pulled out of his last fight due to his neck. I always hold my breath on this guy until he steps in the cage. That's a worthwhile point when it comes to Garbrandt. But I mean, I feel like he's getting a second win in his career and fighting on this marquee card, especially coming off of the wins he's got. I feel like maybe he's not feeling so bad, and they have different people checking for things these days. So you never know what help he's getting to move past that. Jessica Andrade versus Marina Rodriguez.
good fight. Andrade, on the downside, I think it's fair to say. I'm going to go with Marina Rodriguez to win this fight. I know she's, you know, I just think Andrade, however we're pronouncing it in 2024 now. I feel like she's just ran her course a little bit. She's fought all the savages of her era over multiple weight classes. But I just think that I'm going to go with the younger fighter. And I'm reminded now that, you know, Andrade is coming off a win over Dern, but, you know, Dern's not the striker that Rodriguez is. And I'm gonna go with Rodriguez to win a decision. I don't think she gets finished. I think she manages to out hustle Andrade, who will look more for like the big punch or the slam or kind of the quick finish to a fight. And I think she'll give away rounds.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna disagree with you on that one and lean Andrade, just because I feel like if she does get a hold of Rodriguez, then we'll get a lot of what you just said. So, Jalen Turner versus Renato Moicano. Turner is, what is he, the favorite in this one? -238 to Moicano's +195. I don't have, this is one of the ones I didn't put on my notes.
I mean, Turner's a freak athlete. He has all the tools to be what he is when he is at his best. And that's like a, you know, he's like a Swiss Army knife out there. He can beat you a lot of different ways, and he's got a lot of points and, you know, a lot of different angles and stuff that he can get you from. Moicano's just a tough SOB who, you know, seems to go in there and, he's just a tough Brazilian dude. I mean, it basically comes down to, do you think Turner's going to be able to ground and pound Moicano before Moicano can kind of catch him or get a position on the ground that is favorable to him?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Jalen Turner. I'm going to go with Jalen Turner by TKO late second, third round-ish. You know, after they've went at it for a while, I'll go with him landing something big. I just fear those knees and those elbows and all that stuff just too much. I feel like there's just too many points that he can hurt you with. I know his record's only 14-7, but I feel like he's better than a 14-7 fighter.
Yeah. I can't disagree with you on that one. So I guess we're both going Turner there. Sadiq Youssef versus Diego Lopez, which is the opening ESPN card of the prelim portion of the prelims. Let's see. Do they have odds for them? They have Youssef as +120. So Lopez is the favorite here.
I mean, Lopez is the prospect who's coming up, who's taking people out. I'm going to go with Lopez to win. I think he's getting a numbered fighter, but he's getting a higher numbered fighter just to kind of break him into the top 15.
Yeah.
I think that's what the UFC wants. And, you know, he's shown a lot in his fights. I didn't pick him to win his last fight, but, or at least the last one we picked of his. I specifically remember picking against him, but I was brutally wrong that night. And I'm going to go with him for this one.
Yeah. Same here. Hard not to pick him for this one. So this is the one where we get into the odds and the photos, because I know they took pictures of Kayla Harrison today in her UFC outfit. So this silhouette will likely be gone. You know, if depending however this fight goes, and they keep her, I don't know how many fights she signed with the UFC, but there's no odds here. And the funny thing about this is, the last time I checked, which is through their partner, the DraftKings, Holly Holm was either +330 or 340 against Harrison, which was weird to me, because it would see, I mean, I guess because she's coming off a loss and this is Harrison's debut, but I just found that to be an odd, and made me say, I'm going to put money on Holly Holm, because one, Holly Holm's got experience, more MMA experience than Harrison. She definitely has an advantage standing up when it comes to striking. And number three is she's beaten Olympic level judokas before. If we think about where Holly Holm made her name from knocking out Ronda Rousey. And number four is the weight class. This is something that Holm is comfortable with. And I know Harrison's out there, you know, flexing and making all kinds of interesting social media posts to show how jacked she looks at 135, but we still don't know. She's not going to let us know because she is an Olympic level world class athlete. We won't know if it's taxed her body. Only she knows that.
Yeah, I don't. I think the silhouette's Misha Tate, by the way. Just. I don't disagree with the odds, because if you take Kayla Harrison for what she's supposed to be, mm-hmm. I think those odds are fair. In a world where she is this Olympic medal judo champion, in a world she comes in pissed off and goes mm-hmm. in there and just beats the shit out of Holly Holm. I mean, so, she takes her down and just club and just. I mean, in a world where we've kind of been sold, you know, like mm-hmm. we know the reality. We've seen her have her issues in some fights. We've seen her dominate several, you know, mm-hmm. dozen fights. But I don't necessarily disagree with the odds. But
plus
I do think
330. I'm just checking. It's plus 330.
If that's what Garbrandt is essentially, Garbrandt was I think 250. But I don't disagree because Holm's older. I just feel like I don't know if she has if she gets taken down and starts getting the hell beat out of her. I just don't know if it's something she's going to try to fight through. I don't know the mentality at this point mm-hmm. of a, you know, what 42, 43 year old who's already been to the top and mm-hmm. really, you know, I mean, is she going to get there again? I don't think anybody really wants to see it.
Yeah.
You know, so she's not going to, you know, Holm by knockout is definitely a, you know, again, if I'm in Vegas, that's
yep,
a bet.
Me and Joseph Correa.
I make that bet. I don't know if it'll be a straight knockout standing
on the same
up.
Page.
I see it more like a sprawling brawl kind of thing where she would catch her coming in with like a hook or something, or maybe even like an uppercut on a shot attempt would be something I would see more. I feel like I'd see more than just kind of a standing thing.
Yeah.
Well.
Well, in this fight, I said that just before he chimed in that the striking is definitely in Holm's favor, but I don't think
Harrison's gonna make weight. Let me just state that these pictures and stuff, I feel like that's just a lot of window dressing until I see her make that scale, because her muscles don't look like they've gone down. And muscle weighs more than fat.
A lot of people are saying that too. Yeah.
You know, like I got to see it because she's never come close to 135 in her career. This isn't like, oh, she's fought at 140. Like she's had, no. Like I believe 145 was the lowest she ever fought. So I gotta see it
too.
You know,
that's true too. Holly Holm is an experienced spoiler of
you know,
of high trains.
You know, let's put it this way: that bantamweight division needs Kyla Harrison to win. They need her to come in and be the dominant champion mm-hmm. that she has potential to be for like the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah,
that's what the UFC needs. Otherwise, that division is on life support. If Holly Holm wins this fight and we get Pennington Holm 3, you know, I feel sorry for Vancouver. Right.
So you're going? Are you going Harrison?
I'm going Harrison by dominant win. If she makes weight, if she doesn't make weight in fights, I don't even care who wins. Yeah. Honestly, to me that discredits her whole run here, and she just becomes a Dodge of Cyborg at that point.
Yeah.
Like if
I'm,
she can't,
I'm
make
going. Weight. I'm going Holly Holm by 100,000 ish, whatever she yells at when she strikes, by unanimous decision. Like I just think she outstrikes her. And
I feel like I have PTSD from some of the fights I've been at her.
Calvin Kattar versus Al Hamein Sterling. I'll let you go on this because everybody knows I'm going to pick Sterling. So,
I'll take Calvin Kattar by knockout. I think Sterling going up in weight is going to be a problem. And I don't think he's going to be able to wrestle him down. And I don't see him winning a striking fight. So that's just kind of what I see. I mean, I, I don't, you know, if he gets him down, yeah, but maybe he wins a decision, but I don't think he does anything better than that. I think there's a couple routes to victory for Cater, whereas Sterling, I think the only way is kind of a grind out decision win, if he's able to control him in some kind of clinch or takedown.
Yeah, no, I think Sterling goes to his bread and butter. I think he can control him on the ground, and maybe well, he's minus 162 favorite too on the odds, but I agree with the odds. I think the less weight, him cutting less weight, just favors his output on fight night. And then the main ESPN fight, the premiere for what they call this, the feature fight of the prelims, Jiří Procházka versus Alexander Rakic. This one was a head scratcher to me. Who did I pick on this? Did I write it down? I didn't write this one down because it's such a head scratcher to me. That's what the odds say. They're a little Ooh. Pretty close. Yeah. Plus 100 with Procházka as the underdog. Minus 120 for Rakic.
I would have thought Jiří would have been the favorite. I'm going to pick
Jiří. Yeah, that's what I thought.
For me, you know, rise and never die. You know, like I'll go with mm-hmm. him. And, you know, maybe Rakic's been out of action for a little bit, maybe kind of sleeping on him. But, the odds are in his favor, which is not what I expected. But I will, I'll take Jiří, the former champ, to win this fight. I think this fight has potential fight of the night. This is another one like the first fight that Figueiredo and Garbrandt, where I feel like somebody's going down. I feel like this is, you know, this is somebody getting hurt badly, in, you know, at the end of this fight.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's the guy we're going with, the man bun, Joseph. Can't pick man bun McGee. Hey man, hairstyles aside, look at Sean O'Malley's hair. He keeps winning. So, and here we go to the main card, which is where the bulk of my notes are on. If one was hard for me to pick, I would say this was the one, just because I know Bo Nickel is, he's still new and he is hype train or whatever, but I'm very impressed with him. I'm very impressed with him. So I actually have him picked to win this one.
Well, he's the biggest favorite in UFC history. So if he does not win, then he will be the biggest choke in UFC history. And on the other side of the other biggest upsets, odds wise.
Damn, minus 2,100. Jesus. Yeah,
it's insane that case. So here's where we're at with Nickel, right? We know he's a great wrestler, but we don't know yet if he's a great MMA wrestler. His only takedown is coming off of a lead. What was it? Grind shot. Grind shot in his fight that was the only fight he got his takedown in. His other one's been knockout standing. So I think that is still, this is not the fight that's going to show us it. He very well, he'd probably win this fight again by a 30-second standing KO and we'll learn nothing by it. But it'll put his name in the spotlight a little bit. And I can't complain about it. I talk about the UFC not building stars. I can't complain when they put a guy in a showcase fight to do this. But I would like to see him go in there and use that wrestling. I feel like it's kind of like the Aaron Pico thing. Like you dance around long enough, you get caught, you know, Pico got caught early, but you know, I feel like, you know, this guy's only had five fights. I still feel like you use your bread and butter, get some experience, go in there and get 7 minutes, 8 minutes of fight time in, you know, and work your ground game and get a feel of the, you know.
But that's the thing that with Nickel that makes me interested in him and favor him in his fighting career, because everybody, you talk about the Aaron Pico effect, he has the effect, but it's like the opposite of it. Everyone's so paranoid about him as his wrestling that it almost freezes them. And that's what, like, I remember watching one of his, I forget, it was Icon or wherever he fought before he got in the UFC after the first Contender Series thing. And he knocked out, I forgot who he knocked out, but he knocked the guy out with 1-2, pop, pop, and dropped him. And you could tell his opponent was just kind of like so anticipating the wrestling that it made him almost drop his own hands so that Nickel could deliver a knockout. And for one thing about wrestlers, they have explosive power that they don't even know about. And once they learn to strike, the knockout power is there instantly. I mean, if you look back at like Dan Henderson and I mean, even guys like Justin Gaethje and, you know, all the other people that come from wrestling that just put people away.
Gaethje's a good point. Henderson had a long run where he used his wrestling to establish himself in the MMA world. He was known as Decision Dan for a reason. He had a lot of snoozers early on in his career, and he took guys down and he controlled them. I agree with you. I think a better example would be somebody like Yoel Romero, who everybody's always, even to this day, they're afraid of the takedown, but he never does it. You know what I mean? And he's able to pick up wins because his striking, like you said, is he's got that reflex and that, and the strength that is, is just, you know, almost not human. I just feel like when you're building yourself up to a point where you, you're on a main card now, I feel like you're just a, you know, just getting poked in your liver. You're just a liver poke away from falling on the ground. And, you know, and we haven't seen him take a hard shot to the head. We haven't seen him taste his own blood. I feel like, you know, your fifth fight's not, you know, when he's got it, this fight's set up for him to win. Like, you're 2,100 to one favorite. Go in there, take the guy down, smash him out in a minute and a half and get out of the cage. If that's what you're, you know, if that's what you're going to do, dancing around with a guy like that, to me, it's dangerous. I mean, all the biggest knockouts in UFC history, I mean, were guys like St. Pierre decided to kind of stand around with Matt Serra and, you know, and Holly Holm stood with, you know, Ronda couldn't get Holly down and stood with her. And then, you know, and even Sokaju and, you know, and
that's a good one,
and Nogueira and those guys, like, it was like, oh, who's this guy? I'm just going to stand here, you know? And now Sokaju was a little more scary looking than Cody Brundage, but, but aside that, that's thing is game plans lead to the upsets. And I feel like you leave an opening for a guy who's, you know, we talk puncher's chance. Odds makers aren't even giving him a puncher's chance. Odds makers are saying, dude, you're not even going to land a strike. You know?
So it'd be interesting. I mean, with those odds, though, imagine if he wins.
If you're throwing together just a BS parlay, you throw Brundage on there, all of a sudden you're retired, leaving Vegas instead of, you know, instead of just partying hard for the weekend, you're retired. But
like a Mega Million thing.
But, you know, they call Mega Millions the, you know, the, what is it, the tax on the stupid or something like that? Because, you know, same kind of thing when you do a parlay and you throw in a plus thousand underdog, it, you know, it wipes a lot of them out. So, anyways, moving on to a major feature fight here. Charles Oliveira, Armin Tsarukyan. I'm interested on your take on this one. I feel like everybody in the world is Charles Oliveira. I know he's a huge favorite fighter. But I'm just kind of leaning the other way a little bit. And I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are.
No, I almost did. I actually have my cross out and wound up circling Oliveira. And I've talked about this before when it comes to Oliveira, man. So like I'm picking him because I know he has that thing where if a guy lands a couple of, you know, nice shots, he'll do that thing where he plays possum and kind of falls down to make it, you know, but he has to take damage to play that game. And that's what I always say. Like I said this when he fought Gaethje, I was like, if you do that, it's going to be to your detriment because the damage you take to bait him to the ground is going to wear on you more than you think. And that's just the feeling I got. However, because when I thought that he still wound up winning, I still think he can do that here. So that's why I'm leaning Oliveira on this one. I feel like he can get hurt though really bad in this fight.
I looking back, you know, Tsarukyan's like 5 out of his last 6 fights are wins by punches and ground and pound. It's kind of teasing me a little bit. Like, you know, there's a good chance Oliveira goes in there and is the world-class new level champ that he is. And much of those 9 losses don't actually mean anything, but I feel like, you know, eventually you play that game enough, you get beat up. You know what? You just don't always survive it. You know, you're not going to rally back from it over and over and over again. You know, there's, you know, Sakuraba is famous because of the ones he survived, but he sure as hell didn't survive all of them. Yeah. You know, so I'm going to go with Tsarukyan in an upset. We scroll down a little bit. Let me see the odds there.
Plus 185 for Oliveira.
Yeah. Wow. Oliveira's the underdog. Okay. Well, I don't feel so odd making my pick. I'll stick with my pick and go with it. But again, man, the parlay for these underdogs is crazy. Cause I would have not thought that that's what the odds would be.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Either people are going to make money or they're going to be very poor making huge bets. And then, I mean, my main event of this whole card right here, Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway, which I believe is a five rounder since it's for the BMF title that they like to pull out of the air for whenever they need it. Not for nothing. This is a legit, like, they're both BMFs in their own right. But we've talked about this. We kind of gave our pick prediction. I don't know about you, but folks know I'm going to lean Justin Gaethje. I mean, this is just Justin Gaethje's weight class and some of the stuff coming out of his mouth. When I listen to the interviews, I'm just like, I worry for Max Holloway's well-being after this.
Well, that's kind of been what we've been saying since the day this got announced. We didn't really like it. It's a great fight. On paper, it's a great fight. There's no way around it.
Let's check the odds on this.
We've just seen both guys take punishment. We've seen both guys. So I kind of fear for both guys, if I'm being honest. Like,
yeah,
you know, I fear for them in the long term of their life, but they're fighting. So, you know, this very well could turn out to be one of the greatest fights. I mean,
yeah,
there's so much potential for a over the top brawl of two iron chins and two iron wills that this could just be epic as hell, which is obviously what I hope for. But I got to go with Gaethje. He's the bigger dude. I feel like I'm pretty confident saying he's the bigger puncher.
Yeah.
Not so much the output. That's the thing. Yeah, if Holloway comes out and starts popping that jab and starts landing that jab early, it could be, I could see Gaethje, you know, crumbling if he's able or getting beat to the point where we're questioning why the corner's not throwing in the towel. If that jab comes in and really starts doing damage early. But I feel like every time you throw that jab, you open yourself up. And if Gaethje comes over the top,
I will say this. I mean, just because when you look at what we've seen as far as, I mean, I don't know if it's in the embeddeds or whatever, but Holloway for this camp, it looks like he's been training a lot of grappling and submission, because everyone knows Justin Gaethje's lost a couple times by submission. So that's proven to be a chink in his armor. If you can get on him and get around him and to get the submissions like Khabib did, like Oliveira did, you know, if you go, cause going toe to toe with him, is not the way to go with Justin Gaethje. I mean, that's a huge gamble. I feel like maybe Holloway will be a little more cerebral in his approach and try to find a way to, you know, get wrapped around him. I do think he can probably do more punches and bunches. I honestly, to his detriment, I mean, like, he's a tough guy. I mean, I could see Gaethje, you know, dropping him and doing it, getting a TKO, or whatever. But I think Holloway, you know, he might, if this goes to a decision, and like for Gaethje, because I'm obviously picking Gaethje, I wouldn't be surprised if it goes to a decision though, because Holloway's not, you know, he's not somebody that is an easy fight for anybody.
And it's only three round fight, so one thing I do on is driving me nuts is that, you know, again, the UFC website, click back on that and show me what Max Holloway's weight is.
Where we got it? That was 162 pounds. Okay.
So, yep. Coming up from 145 apparently to 162.
Did they weigh him after Christmas?
Like, 162.2. I don't know if I've ever seen a 0.2 before behind their weight on here, but hey, I don't know. Maybe they have his walk around weight for the first time in history.
This is only three rounds. I thought it was a five rounder because.
Oh, you're right. It's the BMF. It's five rounds. Ooh, you think it's going to go to decision still? I don't know. I don't know if either of them will be able to take. If they give us the fight we want, I don't see one of those guys being able to go.
Five rounds. I just think the damage Holloway does is not the same damage that Gaethje does. You know what I mean? Like whatever you. I think that they have the potential to damage each other a lot with cuts and, you know, a lot of whatever. But the punches and bunches thing, the jabs they're more. And I'm not trying to take away from Holloway's power, but they're more pitter patter versus Gaethje's just all out. I'm trying to destroy you with everything I got. You know,
Correct, so. But if you get hit with 45 pitter patters,
yeah. Yeah. Plus, Gaethje's taking a lot of damage, so you never know how it's going to be worn when the fight happens. So it's definitely my main event. I mean, honestly, like if I go these next two fights, I'm interested in them, but that's my main event.
But you might fall asleep, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm on the East Coast. I might fall asleep. Unless the fight is so crazy that I'm wide awake after, like it gives me a shot of adrenaline.
Well, the good thing about it is that Wei Li Zhang tends to be the one that's going to keep you awake.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You want to pronounce the other one? Before I embarrass myself,
Yan Xionan. I think that's
okay. There you go. Hey, that sounds real good. Yeah. Yan Xionan. Okay, I can go with that one. I'm taking Wei Li. TKO finish. I know she played it a little bit safe with Lemos. But I guess win-win for China. I guess you know.
Yeah.
Weird this fight's taking place in Vegas instead of Singapore or something like that. But, or China in general. I'll go with Wei Li, though, to keep the belt and just keep her dominance in the division right now.
Yeah, for sure. excuse me one second. I think we're both on the same page there with our picks. We might as well move to the main event. I mean... This one, and I know Jamal Hill's the number one and former champion, but this is the fight that when it was announced that we were kind of not as excited as we probably should have been when it was announced. However, I mean, I'm just gonna put it right out there and say I'm picking Pajeda to win.
Yeah, I think the reason it didn't get the fanfare that it probably deserves as a good title fight is that. You know, we were told that they were going to make a documentary about the main event of this fight and how it came together. And, you know, we got sold the BS, you know, wolf ticket kind of crap. But you know, it's a light heavyweight title fight. I like the big guys. But I'm with you. You know, initially I'm thinking Jamal Hill, was my pick. And then I started thinking, well, he kind of had trouble with Glover. That fight had some back and forth. Now, he beat the hell out of him when it was all said and done, but it wasn't. Glover had a few moments in that fight. I think he falls into the same trick that a lot of people do, and he's going to try to stand in front of Pahea. And I think Pahea is just more of a, I don't know. I think he just has a, I think he's going to land something and hurt Hill. That's just what I think is going to happen. He's got dynamite in his hands. When he hits people, they tend to be damaged and, I think against Prochazka, he showed that he has a fair ground game, and I think his work with Glover is going to be paying more and more dividends for every fight he has. I mean, Glover's one of the best ground technicians in light heavyweight history, who really doesn't get credit for all of it. But he extremely, extremely heavy, talented, and strong on the ground. So I think that's, you know, he's got to be, you know, teaching him and training him and especially having gone five rounds with Hill, he's going to have that experience of kind of knowing a little bit what to expect. So I'll go with Pahea. If Hill gets an early takedown and damages him, then all bets are off. But I think they dance around for a little bit. And I think it's just a matter of time before it becomes evident that Hill can't take him down. And that's just kind of how I see it happening. I'd like to see some back and forth. I just don't know if we will. I don't know. I feel like there's not really going to be much back and forth. I feel like if either one gets really hit hard on the chin, I can see either one of them going down. I mean, but I think Pahea is more likely to land a big body shot hook or just clean his clock up
against the
cage, you know, something like that. I can see it, you know, but you know, and Hill's coming off the injury and stuff. So there's other deciding factors that could play a role in all this. We got to kind of see how he rebounds from that. But I don't know. Exciting fights. I do like them. And I, you know, it's I fear for what this is going to do for like the next like four pay-per-views using all these fighters on one.
Yeah.
But with that said, we want stacked cards and this one is stacked.
For everybody, I mean, this is one that everyone's kind of like, you know, with all the Apex complaining and all that stuff. This is one that we can all get on board with, regardless of like you know, every single fight on the card is must see at some level, including the one, like I said, with the Jamal Hen Pajeda. I'd like to see I don't think I said who my pick is on that one. I'm picking Pajeda, obviously, just because of Hill's time away. It's his first fight back, and you know, usually guys coming back off of the injury he had don't do so well. So, you know, they kind of need, like, I feel like a warm up fight would have helped him. But I mean, maybe it was something that was promised to him, or maybe he just wants to you know, because he you get an injury like that. It was an Achilles tear, wasn't it? I think it was an Achilles tendon tear, so, or something.
I believe that's what it was. So yeah, something I think they probably just needed the main event at this point, and they offered it to him and paid him some money.
Yeah, that too, because I mean we were waiting a while for a main event announcement. So,
well,
yeah,
because I think this was supposed to be the main event essentially for 301. Mm-hmm. I mean, even to this day, they're still kind of, I think they're hoping Pajeo knocks him out in like,
oh yeah, because I completely forgot about Connor and Chandler.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
that's probably what they wanted.
That's supposed to have been the main event for the last 8 months, every single pay-per-view.
Yeah. But I already forgot about it.
Forgot about it. And
yeah.
Almost don't care about it anymore.
Did you watch Roadhouse?
No. Yeah. No, you couldn't pay me to watch it.
You didn't miss anything. They could have called that movie anything. Bar Fighters, or I don't know why they called it a Roadhouse remake. It was literally like,
There's no way.
It's not great.
Great fight Saturday. Prelims and early prelims all on ESPN is what I understand. The big ESPN. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. Should help to a nice lead into the pay-per-view, which is the normal 10 p.m. Eastern start time. Fans can check out the show at Combat Hour on Twitter, Coast to Coast Combat Hour on Instagram. Follow me, Matthew Hawkins, at MMAHawk21 on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Ed at Carbizol on Twitter, Carbizol on Instagram, and Old Head Carb on Twitch. Thanks for listening, everybody, and enjoy the historical event this weekend.
Yeah, should be a good bit of fun.
Yep. Good night, everyone.